It's your boy, Snowbike Mike, taking over for Kind of Funny Games Daily. Today is Friday, December 13th, 2019, and I am locked in the studio with the former informer, the smartest guy in video games, and the birthday man himself, Imran Khan. How are you doing today, my friend?
I'm doing good. How about you, Mike?
I am wonderful, man. Happy birthday. It's great to be here. I'm excited as can be. We watched the Game Awards last night.
We did.
And we're going to talk about that. That's going to be the main topic of the show. So I want to kind of touch on something while we're warming up. It's, of course, your birthday. Do you have a big gaming-related memory for your birthday?
Oh, geez. I would have thought about that if I came in, or when I came in. I remember, like, very specifically getting, like, video games, because that was the time, like, you'd get a $50 game every year as a kid. Oh, geez. I'm trying to remember specific. I remember getting Mega Man X, like, when I was maybe 8 or 9. I remember my dad coming in, and he was, like, filming the birthday party, because I was opening my presents already, and I was, first thing I did is open Mega Man X, go put it in the SNES, and start playing that. I was like, Dad, film the game, don't film me. And I think, like, oh, when I was 8, I invented Let's Plays then.
He's the first game capture guy, right?
Apparently
there,
I'm right. The first shoutcaster.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
One of my favorite birthday memories thinking about games is actually last year, the year before, I bought the Xbox SAT edition for my birthday because it released on May 7th. So I thought that was really cool. I had to do it. I didn't need another Xbox, but I mean, come on. How many times do you have a Generation Xbox drop on?
No, sometimes you got to be like, I'm just going to buy a birthday present for myself. Like, fuck it.
Well, we're talking about birthdays, and of course, today we are talking about the 2019 Game Awards and giving you the Kind of Funny roundup with all the winners, announcements, and the reveal of the next generation of Xbox consoles. Also, Wolf Among Us 2 and a Fast and Furious video game? All that is going to be going down because today, this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can give us your questions, comments, concerns, and everything else under the video game sun. Then tune in to watch us record it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames every weekday at 10 a.m. Pacific time. If you're watching live, you have a special job to do. Go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong to tell us what we screw up, when we screw it up, to help keep the record straight for everyone watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, Rooster Teeth, and podcast services around the globe. Some housekeeping news for you. Kinda DC is doing a best friend meetup tomorrow, December 14th at 5 p.m. in Georgetown. Details on twitter.com/kindoffunnyDC. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Blackjack and Muhammad Muhammad. Today, we are brought to you by Manscaped, Brooklinen, and Quip, but I'll tell you about them later. Let's start the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news! Today, we have one giant story on the Roper Report.
Bakers!
We're going to kick off the Roper Report with 2019's Game Awards' biggest reveal. That is the brand new Xbox console coming out. All this is going to be from IGN.com by Jonathan Dornbush. Yeah. Xbox Series X and Hellblade 2 announced yesterday.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Incredible. Like, nobody saw that coming. I didn't even hear an inkling about any of that.
You know, it's funny, Imran. Like you said, nobody saw that coming. It was weird. Just a couple of days beforehand, right, we started talking about the name of the Xbox with Phil Spencer, of like, what it means. And that was the only, like, oh, here's a little tidbit, but we didn't know it was going to be revealed at all.
Yeah, no. I guess now it makes sense that why he would be out there saying those things, why that story came out this week, because they knew they were going to say, yeah, it's the Series X. I kind of wonder a little bit if that Kotaku story as well, saying, like, there's going to be multiple Xboxes and stuff like that, like, maybe that was timed a little bit, or maybe it was leaked to Jason Schreier this week with the intention, because then that makes the name make so much sense.
Yes.
Of like, oh, well, this is the Series X. This is the big one. Then there's probably going to be a Series S, or whatever they call it, which is like the lesser powerful one.
I'm really interested to talk to you about what the naming conventions will be. Let's jump in really quick, give you the quick roundup of the Xbox Series X. Coming from Matthew Cato at Game Informer. Quote, the Xbox Series X has 4 times the processing power of the Xbox One X and uses a custom AMD processor with the latest Zen 2 and next generation RDN architecture. End quote. The system does 4K and 60 frames per second, of course, but is capable of doing 8K and 120 frames per second Fran, you can call us up, you PC nerd. Microsoft says that devs will also be able to take advantage of the Series X GPU with variable rate shadowing, VRS. There's going to be a lot of acronyms, so stick with me, everybody out there. Piling on more acronyms, Microsoft is also giving the Xbox Series X variable refresh rate, VRR, and auto low latency mode, ALLM, both currently in the Xbox One. From a physical perspective, the system can be oriented horizontally or vertically, neither of which to interfere with the system's cooling vent at the top. As for the controller, it has been reshaped slightly in size and shape to be more accommodating to more people, and a dedicated share button has been added right in the middle. The D-pad is the new one, similar to the one on the Xbox Elite Series 2 controller. Running with the theme of Series X software backwards compatibility functionality, the controller works with Xbox One and Windows PC 10. The new controller comes packed with the console. Whoa. Emron, yeah. I am winded from just telling you all of that information. There's a lot of words there, a lot of mumbo jumbo. Why don't you break it down for me?
I only understood some of that. But like when they say 8K and 120 FPS, they don't mean like in a realistic game scenario it's going to do that. They mean it has support for it. So when 8K TVs start coming down the line, they'll start being able to like, oh, you can actually output an 8K image. Maybe like the achievement wallpaper images are going to be like that. Who knows? Like the OS is probably going to scale up to it or have a native image for that. That would be great because it also means that, yeah, we might be doing console refreshes as well, but if you own one of the old ones, you're not left in the dust.
Yes, I like that. I like that. I think that's a big one that we've been talking about. It's like the cross generation, as we always leave these generation cycles of like, who's kind of left behind for X amount of years? Who comes with it right away? Is there going to be still viability on that other console? So that's nice to hear. Xbox wants to bridge that gap and keep it going, which is pretty cool.
It's also interesting the way they did this, because essentially we have the same amount of information on the Xbox Series X now than we have on the PS5. Because Sony has done it through like two Wired articles, like very in-depth deep dives. Microsoft did it through like, hey, here's the thing, here's the controller, here's all that stuff, and here's the, we're going to give away our PR announcement of what's in this box, what it can do, what the hardware is like, what the controller is like, all that stuff. So in one night, they essentially did what Sony did over like 3 or 4 months. And neither of those are wrong. They're both like very valid ways to get attention. But I think Microsoft basically just like, they didn't have to catch up. They just had to say, like, okay, here's our stuff, too.
Here's our stuff. And you guys were talking about it at the Game Awards live reaction last night about, like, Microsoft now owns that narrative, the message coming out of this. And like you said, this was one of the most hype moments from the Game Awards 2019.
Yeah, and it actually worked in their favor. Like, not to be too down on the Game Awards, but, like, it being a fairly weak year for that show meant it was great for Microsoft because at the very top of every news site, because it's a slow news day, obviously, it's not going to change for most of the day. It's going to be, here's a picture of the new Xbox. Here's what the controller looks like. I cannot visualize right now what the PS5 is going to look like. I know the dev kit.
I like that pizza warmer.
Yeah, there's that. But like, I have a brand idea in my head now of what the Xbox looks like, and that works out so much better for them.
I love that. Well, let's talk about the look and the cosmetics. We got to see it for the first time. It was up vertically. I said during the live watch along, I love that. I'm all about that.
It's a desktop tower.
I think it looks fun. It looks like a desktop. So let's talk about the console itself, and then we'll get over to the controller because I want to touch on that share button. So what do you think about the look being similar to a desktop tower?
I think it looked like with where they're going with that system and the explanation of like where their mentality is, it makes total sense. Of like, hey, we just want a simple box that plays your games, and it's like it works with Game Pass. It's not the idea of we have to create a thing to put your discs in is kind of going by the wayside.
Yeah,
it's like we just want to take a box, a rectangle that is your one place to play video games now, and the big vent at the top is them. Still freaking out a little bit about what happened with the 360. I mean, like, we need to have these things vented better. And the Xbox One was a giant vent. And Xbox One X was liquid-cooled, but that's a little expensive. Mm. So this is a good compromise, and I imagine they might have some liquid-cooling solution here as well. But this is a good way of being like, yeah, no matter what way you put this, as long as you don't put it upside down, you're going to be well-vented. So you don't need to worry about this thing, like, it may heat up the room, but it's not going to heat itself to death.
Yeah. I'm really excited about that, with talking about the vent being up on the top. They have a cool glowing green light that they have in the photo. I don't know if that's glowing or if it's just
green or something. I'd rather no more lights on my consoles.
Oh, I like that. Like with the PS4 or the PS4 DualShock controller with the glowing light on the controller. Uh-huh. I love that, right? Just add to the ambiance, the scariness of my game. But I like that. I'm really excited to see, is it truly quieter, right? Like, we always hear they're trying to make the consoles quieter, but every single time, my console sounds like it's going to take off to outer space. Yeah. You know what I mean, Emron?
So I had to wear headphones for God of War because, like, I just couldn't hear it over the PS4 at some point.
That seems like my Xbox One lately, my Xbox One X, is making so much noise, I can hear it over the TV, over everything, and it's just so loud. So I'm excited to see what they do with that, and will that top vent be the answer? I don't know.
Right.
But I want to talk about the controller now, that share button. I'm a big Xbox guy. I play everything on Xbox, and I love the share functionality, but I hate dashboarding, pressing X and or Y to record. It, like, pauses the game halfway through. So, like, what are your thoughts on that, adding that button to the controller?
That's great, because, like, especially after I've been playing Jedi Fallen Order on Xbox, like, I want to, like, do a thing, but I don't want to, you know, constantly go in there, like, okay, last 30 seconds, was that counted 30 seconds it took me to get to this part of the menu, or no? Like, what is it recording here? This is much easier, and Sony got it right with the PS4. Of, like, just put a fucking button, Switch does the same thing. Microsoft was trying to catch up in that regard, because they're like, we have this our functionality technically, but we can't, like, we don't have a button, we didn't design it for the console, so I guess we can kind of do it through a firmware. Like, they knew they messed up there. But this is just them fixing it. Otherwise, it's pretty much the Xbox One controller, just improved D-pad. And they're keeping the, like, vibration in the triggers and all that stuff. So I think that's their way of, like, yeah, Sony may have haptics, but we have basically a very similar thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe now that Sony does have haptics, they'll probably use the vibration in the triggers much more. But
I'm excited about it. My only question is I'm down in San Francisco this week, and I was going to go buy myself an Xbox Elite Version 2 controller to treat myself for the holidays. I don't believe that controller has the share button yet.
It does not.
Which I feel like that's a downgrade. So are they going to come out with a Version 3? Are they going to come out with one once this releases with the share button included, and now I have to upgrade my version or maybe reprogram a button? What do you think about that?
I would think what I think they're going to do is probably allow you to reprogram a button on the Xbox Elite controller. But if you don't want to lose a button, then I imagine they, like, you will have to just upgrade another Xbox Elite controller.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that's fine, because I don't imagine a lot of people are going to do that. I think there's going to be a lot more improvements in whatever the version 3 is. But yeah, that does suck for people who just bought one and are like, for them, a share button matters.
It matters to me. Yeah. Right? Now I'm hesitant on my purchase. Let's talk about the name now. Xbox Series X.
Right.
We got a lot of X's. We got a lot of S's. We got a lot of Xboxes. We got a lot of acronyms. What are your thoughts on the Series X title?
It does create a little bit of brand confusion in the same way Wii and Wii U does. Maybe not to that extent. But I think they're trusting that consumers will know. We'll see, because I've worked at retail like as much before. I've seen people get super confused about very simple things. So what they're going to need to do is they're going to need to, like, put out training for retail people and, like, hey, this is what, like, you need to say to consumers when they, like, come in asking about this thing. I think with maybe it might not even matter, because they have already announced that Halo Infinite is coming out on Xbox One, Xbox One X, Xbox Series X, and whatever other series they, like, in PC and all that, too. So, to them, the box itself might not be what defines what people buy. You know what I mean?
Like, okay, yeah, definitely.
Like, if you buy Halo Infinite, maybe the idea is it is available on all of those things, no matter what you play. So, if you go in there wanting to buy a new console, and they say, like, well, I want an Xbox One. Well, like, here, let me tell you about the differences between all of these things. This is the most powerful one. This is, like, not as powerful, but it's a lot cheaper. Mm-hmm. Like, those kinds of things. Maybe that works out for them for the first year or two, or maybe that's the entire ecosystem. Maybe that's their entire plan.
That's an interesting thought right there. I like that. I also think a big one for them is the cosmetic look. Looks totally different from your Xbox One's, those kind of looks, being that vertical, kind of that desktop squared moving upward. So I think it's going to look a lot different. For me, you know, a single guy, no family, I can walk into any game retail and just buy it, no problem.
Yeah.
I don't know how much confusion it will cause. I'm sure it will cause some confusion, but it was like the Nintendo Switch and then the new Nintendo Switch with a red box. You know, I think people figured it out after a while. or they just started moving away from that. So it'll be interesting to see what it looks like in retail for sure.
Yeah, and honestly, like, it's somewhat of a question of how many people buy consoles at a retail store these days. I imagine it's still quite a few, but is it the majority of the audience?
Yeah.
Like, are they go to Amazon and read the Amazon page and read the Amazon reviews and then go, okay, well, this one is the newer one, so I'm going to get this. Like, it'll say 29 or 2020 or whatever in there.
I like that. And then I want to touch on, so the name here, for me being a big Xbox guy, is this the Anaconda? Is this the Lockhart, right? We came up past this summer talking about two different consoles, two different specs, the premium and then the lower version. This one just came out with the Xbox Series X. So are we still two different versions? Will we see an S, an X Plus? What will be the naming convention? Or are we just going to launch with one console to start off this generation?
That's a good question. If I were Microsoft, I would start the generation with both.
Okay.
Because you get to set, like, it may cause a little confusion, but you get to set the tone right there. They've done a pretty good job so far of branding their consoles as Xbox One S is not the most powerful one, but it's a cheaper version. Xbox One X is the more powerful one. So if you want the more power, like better graphics, you buy X. If you want cheaper, you buy S. So that makes sense with this name of if they want to call it Series X, like you get Series S as well. And that's like, okay, this is the same thing theoretically, just like I only have a 1080p TV. I'm not going to upgrade to 4K.
Okay.
Not me personally, but if I'm that consumer, then the S makes more sense theoretically. We'll see what they actually have to say when they do show. Like maybe this is what they launch with, and then down the line they do another one and it still works out the basic same way, but I think they're going to want the cheaper audience built in early on.
I hope they launch with both. I think that will be a really cool sales pitch. I actually get flashbacks and nightmares to a cold winter Thanksgiving evening on 2003, I believe, when I went out with my mother and purchased an Xbox 360. And if you remember, on that launch, they had the 360 with the hard drive and then the Xbox Arcade 360 edition, right, with no hard drive. And we were first in line. We got the hard drive edition, but they handed us an arcade edition with no hard drive. And I cried for weeks because I couldn't save my NBA Live save. It was heartbreaking deep down inside.
I feel that, Mike.
So it will be very interesting to see if they launch with both, what they call it. The X and the S acronym kind of get me, right? Are we going to move away from those and go with, like, I don't want to call it the Xbox L because people will say we're taking losses over here.
All right.
But, like, Xbox L for Lockhart. Or, like, what will be the other acronym? Or will they stick with the S and the X?
I think probably they'll just stick with S and X for now. If they want to have, like, because the way they set it up here is they're allowing themselves to have a, what's the word, iPad-style upgrade system. So they could do the Xbox Series whatever, like put another M or letter on there, like the Xbox Series A, or maybe it's like make it more like a Porsche kind of like naming scheme as they go forward. They basically gave themselves 26 other options or 26 options to do this. So they can do whatever. They could say like Xbox Series 2 if they wanted to. Or just Xbox Series S, the new one, 2021 edition, 2022 edition. It's basically open for them to do whatever they want. They've made mistakes where they locked themselves into branding too hard. Because the Xbox One was a name that did not fit that system when it launched, but it fit it when it was revealed.
Yeah.
So now they're like, okay, well, the brand is Xbox. The brand is Xbox across consoles and across PC. Because, like, you've used a Windows PC recently.
Heck yeah.
You've, like, seen where just, like,
I love it.
All gaming stuff is just labeled Xbox now.
Yep.
When you press, like, home on the control button, it just goes, like, it says Xbox Media Bar. Like, they know that branding is not just the box anymore. So they can just do whatever with it now.
Makes me excited for the future, for sure. I love that Xbox name. I'm a big Xbox guy. Talking about Xbox, Hellblade 2. Senua's Saga was announced.
Yes.
Now, we started off with the Xbox announcement. It was, you know, you said it best, the anticipation, because it was just a black screen with some glowing lights. And then we saw racing. We saw Halo Infinite with Master Chief. We saw FIFA. And then it moved right into Hellblade 2. And this was an intense trailer that we actually didn't even know what was coming at us. What do you think? I mean, Hellblade 1, everybody talked this game up. Unfortunately, I never played it, but I know this was a big deal for people. What do you think about number 2 coming back?
So I haven't played Hellblade 1 either. I should now. It's on Game Pass. So, like, that was a good call, by the way, putting it on Game Pass right before they announce the new one. But I'm interested in it Because Microsoft had to announce this. They made a number of first-party acquisitions in the last year.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
Since then, they've announced a like new Fortnite-style game with Obsidian. They announced a multiplayer Melee game with Ninja Theory. Those are fine. Those are good ideas. But it does create a narrative with Microsoft that they bought these studios that are well-known for single-player games that are story-based, and they made them make, or not made them make multiplayer games, but they're the first games they're making are multiplayer like games as a service. So it creates a narrative with them of, like, did Microsoft buy these studios that have made such amazing stories and just put them on, like, games as a service?
Yeah.
So they had to go, like, no, no, here's a new Hellblade as well. They're still doing what they what they're good at. It's just these happen to be projects they were also working on before.
Exactly.
So, like, for them to sort of relaunch their first-party initiative with, like, Halo and Hellblade and all that stuff, they're going, no, we know the problem. We know what happened this generation. It didn't work out great, but we're trying to right the ship, and here's our example of why. It's also especially, this is a very pointed game announcement, because Hellblade was, at one point, a PS4 exclusive.
It was.
So this is them saying, hey, we got that game that was for, at one point, part of a Sony game reel of, like, them showing off their exclusives. We have a sequel to it. It belongs to us.
That's some exciting movements right there. Well, let's talk about the PlayStation side. Ghost of Tsushima got a big-time reveal there. Mm-hmm. We saw a very small tidbit at State of Play. We were teased. We said, give us more. And they gave us a little bit more. Now, you and I talked here on the table during the live react. That wasn't much, right? We didn't see too much gameplay to lead to what is this game truly going to look like? What is it going to play like? We saw some great scenes, some great animations, so a little bit of action, but still leads me to say, what am I going to get here? Is this going to be a Dark Souls type game, or is this going to be more of like a hack and slash quick action game? I just don't know yet.
Yeah, like we saw a bit of stealth. I did, like, you could see the infamous DNA in the gameplay part of the trailer. So, like, there was a part where he, like, tossed a, I guess, some sort of grenade type thing at another enemy, and it blew up and, like, took another couple of enemies with him. It's like, oh, that's the shot grenade from Infamous. Like, so I understand where they're going with this. It's going to probably be that idea, but, like, it's bringing Infamous down to a more grounded place, but you're still a fucking ninja or samurai slash ninja, I guess. So you, like, it's more fantastical. There's, like, vibes of Tenchu. There's bits of Sekiro in there, even though I'm sure it's not actually, like, influenced by Sekiro at all. But this is, it's an interesting look at the game. I want to get my hands on it now. Now that I've seen what it looks like, I'm, like, I look at Last of Us 2, and I'm like, I know how that plays. Like, there's going to be additions and changes, and I'm sure it's more refined, but I know how that plays.
Yeah.
I can see the infamous DNA, but I'm like, I want to, like, move the character around and slash a little bit and see, like, do they block the slashes? Or is this mostly stealth? Am I going to be in trouble if I get aggro more than two or three enemies at once?
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Like, those are the things I need to know. Because, like, that is kind of, like, draws the line between, is this Soulsian? Is this Infamous? Are they, like, trying to make an open-world Japan game in the vein they've made other games? Or are they trying to do something a little bit harder and more grounded?
Yeah. Well, it looks really great, right? We saw the open world traversal of him riding on a horse, climbing up on ledges. We saw some Assassin's Creed stealth kills. So I'm pretty excited about this. The first trailer way back at E3, I think, a couple years ago, I was excited about it. I thought this looked cool. That last little teaser that we got at State of Play, I was like, no, that's not enough. I need way more.
Yeah.
And this got me excited. I still need more gameplay I'd like to see just so I know what I'm getting sold on. But to go over on that PlayStation 4 side, to have that special Sony exclusive, it looks right up that alley and gets me excited to turn on my PlayStation 4.
Yeah, I bet as Last of Us 2 marketing starts winding down or that game comes out, we're going to get a huge Ghost of Tsushima blowout. So summer sounds about right.
Yeah.
They've released Last of Us during the, I think it was the week of E3 or the week before E3 or somewhere around there. But they don't shy away from releasing games in June. So we, like, June, July, August, all possible months for this, I think they're probably going to aim June, July.
Okay, you're going to think June, July, because we got Last of Us Part 2 is late May, I believe.
Yeah.
Let's get Barrett involved. Barrett, what do you think for what we're going to see here with Ghost of Tsushima? It's summer 2020. What are some of your thoughts on that? Where are we landing?
I made the very specific prediction for late July, early August, and I still stick to that. I marked my own prediction as wrong, though, because I was a little too specific, but that summer announcement, I think we're going to see it around that.
I like that a lot. Mm-hmm. I actually think a little more space between The Last of Us and this would be good.
Yeah.
Maybe that little bit later summer. Last of
Last of Us is May.
Yeah, May 29th. I think it's like really at the end of May, I believe.
And because it's a single player experience, like there's going to be a lot of conversation around it for that first month. But then after that, it'll kind of die down. And then you give some breathing room. And I think that'll be the perfect time for Ghost to drop.
Definitely be a hot drop for sure. Let's talk about another big time reveal here. This one kind of came out of left field for people tweeting you on Twitter, asking you, hey, what is happening over here at Telltale Games? Mm-hmm. The Wolf Among Us 2 had a nice reveal trailer there. It's coming back.
Right.
And people asked you, I saw it on Twitter. They said, Emron, what the heck? I thought Telltale was dissolved. Where did this come from? I know you got some knowledge on that you want to tell everybody about.
So recently, I mean, Telltale, it was one of the bigger stories of the last 2 years that Telltale, like, dissolved. They got rid of all their IPs, or not got rid of, but, like, their IPs went with them, basically, except for The Walking Dead. When a company called LLC, was it LLC?
LCG.
LCG, sorry. Picked up the Telltale name, picked up all their IPs, renamed themselves Telltale. Everyone's like, this is not Telltale. This is just a company, like, masquerading in their clothes. Mm. They have... So when The Wolf Among Us 2 was announced, the game had already been announced by Telltale at one point. It was, we'd never seen anything of it. We've only seen a logo. So theoretically, there had been some work on it, but it was like after some other things they were working on. When this was announced, everyone was like, no, they can't, because like, where are those employees working anymore? Apparently, according to Colin Campbell at Polygon, they are working on a company, are working at a company called Ad Hoc Studio, who is actually most of the Wolf Among Us team, and they are working on this game. The current Telltale, or LCG, sorry, has contracted them to make this game, which is the way it should work. It should be... They're, like, getting the employees who used to make these games, the former Telltale people, and saying, okay, you were working on this project, finish working on this because we think this will make us money. Like, obviously, I would love it if they hired all those people back for full-time health benefits and all that jazz, yeah. But whatever. They have a new studio. That's great. I'm very excited because Wolf Among Us is one of the best Telltale games.
Definitely one of the highly regarded Telltale games for sure. Now, I want to ask you the question, pose the question. I mean, let's go off. I know the name is going to sell some people, but how do we sell it to the general audience, right? Like, people know Telltale for kind of the older engine, a lot of chugging, some great storytelling, some awesome IPs that they had, but the engine was so old, that's what everybody talked about each and every time. What does Telltale need to do with Wolf Among Us 2 to maybe change that narrative and say, hey, come out and buy this game, not just off the name alone?
So when LCG first bought the Telltale name, one of the first things they said is, we're going to modernize certain things because the engine is one of the things that held Telltale back because it made it harder for them to develop games, made the crunch worse as they had to get things out month by month. I think they are in the position now where they could just say, okay, you guys are free from whatever you did before. You are not beholden to that previous thing. You've got a while to make this game because no one expects it coming soon. Work on Unity. Like, make an Unreal Engine game. Whatever works for you, do that and make this game sing with that proper engine. So I think this company, one of the reasons Telltale did stick that engine is one of the heads of Telltale made that engine.
Oh, wow, okay.
So he just like, we don't have time to like figure something out new. I made this. I know how it works. We're good. That held them back as they had to keep like plastering things onto that thing. And then... At a certain point, because the way that company was structured, they had to constantly always be making something. They did not have time to learn or make something new.
Yeah.
So they were stuck with that. This gives them that clean break and that opportunity to go, all right, we have existing engines. Just use one of those. See what works best.
Definitely. It'll be really exciting to see. I think Wolf Among Us 2 will be exciting. The name will definitely carry some weight. They've had some great stories in the past, from Walking Dead to Borderlands, Game of Thrones I actually enjoyed as well. So I'm really excited. I hope that this does really well. They make another one or make something different because I love the storytelling from Telltale. It was a lot of fun to play those games back in the day.
I'm actually really hoping now that like maybe they revive Tales from the Borderlands because that is the best Telltale game.
Oh, I love that. I like that. Well, let's talk about one of the craziest announcements. It might not have been the hypest announcement, but Tim Geddes over here in this seat was freaking out last night.
We had to move our water just in case.
I had to grab my water bottle just so it didn't spill on your laptop. But we did see Dominic Toretto himself, a.k.a. Vin Diesel, come out just absolutely yoked. And him and Michelle Rodriguez, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. Michelle Rodriguez and him announced a Fast and the Furious entry, but it's not a movie. It's a video game.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of Fast and the Furious Crossroads?
One, okay, so I have a couple of, like, there's layered thoughts here. That, one, it's baffling to me. This is, like, the first real Fast and the Furious game. How are we 9 entries into this movie, or this movie series that is astoundingly popular, considered one of the best action series movie, like, movie series ever.
Yeah.
And yet, we've never had, like, a really good game about a very, like, video gamey premise. Like, it's shocking that it took this long.
That's an interesting insight, like you said, right? We've only seen like small like DLC add-on packs of like here's a car in a certain racing game, but we've never seen that like GTA style or just that linear storytelling of like half driving, half running around, shooting guns with Dominic Toretto. We've never seen that. So it'll be exciting. Like you said, we've seen a lot of bad movie games, a lot of good movie games. Why has Fast and the Furious have never entered the fray? And why now, though?
Yeah. Now is the really confusing part. Like, when they first showed the trailer, I'm like, oh, this looks like a Telltale game. I wonder if you're doing, like, oh, this is a lot of stuff for a Telltale game. Then they, like, showed the logos at Slightly Mad Studios. I'm like, okay, so I guess this isn't a Telltale game. Why does this look like a Telltale game? And this is not, I don't want to prejudge the game.
Mm-hmm.
With that studio or that developer, they worked on Project Cars. They can make good games. This just, they're probably not used to like making like AAA character models or whatever of humans. So maybe it just doesn't look great because of that. Maybe it'll like, maybe it's just early and it'll start like polishing up over time. But yeah, that looks like a 360 game in a lot of ways.
I think somebody can, you're wrong me. I believe that date was summer 2020.
Was it?
So somebody can, you're wrong me on that one, but I think they actually gave a date of summer 2020. Somebody can check that. What I'm looking for, Imran Khan, is, you know, I don't know what the mix will be, but I can say one thing. If you're driving, it better allow me to use the driving wheel.
Yes.
A big thing I had with Need for Speed Heat that just came out is they didn't release the game with driving wheel functionality. It was going to be added on later on. If we're talking Fast and the Furious, I better be able to grab my driving wheel and pedals and have some fun.
Mm-hmm.
But what would be that mix? Like, will I have to just stop using the wheel and move over to play with my controller? What is that going to look like? I don't know. Maybe they won't even use the driving wheel.
I've seen driving wheels that have, like, a controller, like, inset that, like, you could just switch that way.
Okay, that would be wild.
Maybe, but, like, who knows? Who knows how that's going to work? I'm going to be, like, so the trailer itself looked like a, like, best of Fast and Furious.
Yes.
Of, like,
May 2020 for the release.
Fucking okay, that's not early then.
That's what I had the problem with. I was like, man, is this game gonna get pushed? Are they really sticking to it? Because like you said, it looks early. It doesn't look great, but we're just 5 months away. Less than 5 months here.
Yeah, they're in a polishing phase by this point. But like, yikes. Hopefully it looks better. Hopefully it plays better than it looks.
Okay.
I'll put it that way.
Well, let's move on to a game that looked really good.
Really quick. I just want to throw this out there of like one of the layered kind of thoughts I had for last night. This was the last thing they announced. That was what you chose?
Yeah.
What the fuck? I know we talked a little bit about how we think Half-Life Alyx might have been the last thing that was supposed to be at the show, and because of their dropout last minute, that's what caused the show to be like, all right, bye. But yeah, wild decision.
Speaking of dropouts, do you remember that they teased Sonic was going to be there?
Did they tease that? Oh,
yeah,
they did.
I am assuming what happened is that they, like, the night before the Game Awards, the studio that did the whole revamp of Sonic, the movie Sonic,
they
ended up closing down. Like, the company closed them down and fired everybody, like, laid off everybody from their Vancouver studio.
Super fucked up.
I imagine that they saw that, like, this is going to be bad news if we get Ben Schwartz out here.
We don't want to mix that, yeah.
So that's what, hopefully that's, you know, they knew better and they decided not to do it.
Interesting. Well, man, let's take a quick moment really fast. Since we're getting kind of deep, we're talking a lot of the announcements. Let's just talk about the Game Awards themselves, right? We just talked about the beginning and the end, right? Started off big time with the Xbox Series X reveal. People were hyped. We had some great announcements from the pre-show to the start. Kind of died down there in the middle. A lot of ads. Great show overall, but the ending right there with Dom and, you know, Michelle Rodriguez ending that. What were your thoughts on the game show itself, the award show?
I thought it was fine. In any other year, it would have been like, oh yeah, that was a pretty good show. I think after last year with the bangers that had, I was like, okay, well, this this is not as good as last year. And that's fair. It's fair that it's not as good as last year because the generation is winding down. Nintendo just didn't feel like doing whatever they wanted to do here for whatever reason. So it's like, it's a perfectly serviceable show that I thought was okay. In context of the years of this, like, I'm expecting next year will be better. I'm expecting, like, the years after that will be better. It's just, in the context, I'm like, I came away disappointed.
Okay. Interesting look on that. And I know you say disappointed, meaning the reveals and the announcements, right? Like,
right.
When we look back on it, the years that Jeff Keighley and his team have grown this show from Spike TV to being off on their own, and now, like, there's no more Schick Hydrobot anymore. Like, it is a beautiful, well-produced award show that we all love watching, celebrating those. But we've come so fascinated on the announcements and reveals. It's, you know, I wouldn't say... It's disheartening almost to be like, people are like, oh, I judge it off of this, you know, but it's like, well, truly you had some great presenters, you had some fun moments, people were smiling, they brought Green Day up for a concert, like every year he continues to push the envelope of how great the award ceremony itself is.
Yes, I agree with you, but I think there are aspects of that that he's definitely... I don't think he's as married to the awards part as or he just doesn't think it's entertaining.
Okay.
Because, like, there's some legitimately good awards in the pre-show that are just like, here's a list, I'm reading the list, here's the name.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, okay, like, that couldn't have been something that's read on stage, that couldn't have been something that, like, we get an acceptance speech for, or anything like that. Like, the Best Actor one was also one that was strange, because they didn't make a big deal about it. It's like, oh, Mads Mikkelsen won. It's like, well, Mads not here. Kojima's not going to accept the award. No one, Roman Reedus wouldn't accept it on his behalf. Like, they couldn't do this on the stage, or Jeff Keighley couldn't present that or anything like that. Like, it's very strange that sometimes they emphasize the awards and sometimes they don't. This year they had Reggie giving a very nice speech about how everyone was at one point an independent developer, and he's correct. And Reggie is no longer representative of Nintendo, so obviously he's not going to announce something there. But at the same time, it's like, oh, you have Reggie lending gravitas to the Subway Eat Fresh Indie Game Awards. And then you have people coming in there, like the Disco Elysium team, saying, like, they had won 4 awards. We saw 2 of them. They were the most awarded game/developer at that show. Mm-hmm. But, like, we only found out about 2 of those awards because they said, also, they won this.
Yes. Do you think in the future we might see one day, I saw somebody out there on Twitter when Jeff put out the, hey, what did you think? What were some of your insights? What we could do better? And somebody wrote, hey, have you ever thought of like just splitting it up into 2, right? Like maybe doing an announcements in the morning, get everybody hyped. The press can write up all the release stuff. And then at the night, just do a award show and keep it, you know, easy and simple. Do you ever think we'll see something like that? Or will it always be this mix of both where we'll either get one end just banging, everything's great, and one end kind of neglected?
I think it's always going to be like a mixture because you can't get the people there on, like, unless you're like, it's an award show, unless there's some like credibility towards like being there. Cause like Doug Bowser's not going to show up and sit in front of the audience for a commercial. Like,
yeah.
He's going to be there when like Nintendo's getting awards for things. I think it's just going to have to be the way it is cause like the economics of it is just doesn't work out. The only way I could see fixing it, and this is not a fix necessarily because it's also a complaint, is making the show longer.
Okay. And that was 3.5 hours, including
that was 3.5 hours, but it has been like 4.5 hours long.
Wow.
Like, I remember there was a year that, like, Until Dawn was shown, and every joke on Twitter was like, yeah, Until Dawn describes the Game Awards, because it was going on that long.
Wow. Okay, well, it'll be really interesting to see if they ever move to, like, a DICE format where it's really more just about the awards and that's it, or if it will continue to be, like you said, the presentation, the announcements. I think that's what gets everybody excited. That's why they're bringing in such big numbers across 50 different platforms he was streaming it to, you know?
I think that's why they won't, because DICE exists and GDC Awards exist and IGF and all that.
I mean, all in all, I think I had a great time, right? Like, it wasn't overly hyped spill water on a laptop, but when you really look back on it, I love coming together with all my best friends, watching this Game Awards show, seeing, you know, people get recognized for all their hard work, and then on the flip side, getting teased with some cool announcements. And yeah, like you said, we're at the end of the console generation. We're not going to get anything mind-blowing, but we did get some cool ones, some slow ones, some other cool ones. But I think all in all, it was a fun show. Mm-hmm. It was a great 3.5 hours, and I can't wait to do it again next year.
Yeah, I mean, I had a ton of fun just sitting here and talking over it.
Yeah, definitely. That's all that matters. You know, one year, I'm going to go to it. I think that would be a blast. You know, go down to LA and suit up and have a great time.
I'm really disappointed because I remember like getting party invites. I'm like, I'm not going this year. So I wish I could. Like,
Actually, you know what? We should make a New Year's resolution. Jeff Keighley, it's your boy Snowbike Mike, and I just want to put one out there. I want to become the next presenter at the Game Awards. Give me best esports host. Give me best esports announcement. I'll take those awards and I'll give them out on the red carpet, on the sideline, whatever you need. But I want to put it out there. Jeff Keighley, your boy Snowbike Mike, I want to become a Game Awards presenter. Let me know.
Do it, Keighley, you coward.
Let's get back to some of the announcements since we are getting close here. We saw a couple of cool ones. I want to touch on one that I was really interested in, and that was Godfall. Very big, flashy trailer. Mm-hmm. You touched on this one. It was actually the first and only one to show PlayStation 5, correct? The title branding. So this is from Gearbox and another developer, Counterplay Games.
Right,
and
I looked them up this morning.
Yeah, they've only
made a card game so far.
Oh, okay.
Like, so they're made up of veterans from a lot of big things. Like, some of them worked on Horizon, some of them worked on like other AAA games I'm forgetting right now. But like, they're a fairly new studio, but in terms of their existing work as a studio, it's only been a card game.
It was a very flashy trailer. And it was funny. We talked about Magic the Gathering, and all of these card game trailers or reveals or commercials are so flashy, so imaginative. And then this one, wow, did this speak to me? It was loud, it was bright, it was cool.
Yeah.
And then the idea of a slasher looter slasher, I like that tagline.
It's interesting because that's... I know what they're going for because they're trying to use the kind of Borderlands thing of like, hey, we're combining two things that are not like and making them into a more RPG-like experience. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, looter slasher is just Diablo. What are you talking about?
Well, there was a lot of them right there. Of course, Riot Games and Riot Forge announced two League of Legends games, the single-player games that are coming out with. One is all about the champion Echo, which will be exciting. And then the other one is Convergence and Ruined King is the other one. So those are exciting. Of course, if you have one, let me know. Big one for me, the Prologue. Mm-hmm. A new player unknown game. I'm a big fan of PUBG. I've loved PUBG. I'm very excited. Brendan Green now a chance to make his single player game that he wants.
Yeah.
He wrote a big one over here that I have about how he was excited to have the chance to make, you know, a moment here, single player, not battle royale, and really leave a lasting impression after being on such a huge platform. What do you think we could really see? Because it looked almost like it was going to be a kickoff to another PUBG of like, you're dropped in the woods. There's a gun over there. Go kill some AI bots. What do you think it's going to be?
So I don't know if you remember, but a couple of months ago, not even a couple of months ago, about a year ago, the head of Sledgehammer, he got promoted to head of game development within Activision, but then he left that to work for the PUBG Corp, because he's now heading up the, the single-player, player-unknown Prologue.
Okay.
So I think that's what this is, that they wanted to make a game that explains what the PUBG universe is. I don't think they needed to explain that, but if you're going to have someone do it, it makes sense to have someone who's made a bunch of Call of Duty games make that game.
I like it. Another exciting one I know that you were pumped up on, No More Heroes 3.
Right.
You even watched the extended trailer. Why don't you tell me about that one?
So I didn't realize it because we were talking over it, and it was the shortened version of the trailer. But so Suda 51 released a game earlier this year called Travis Strikes Again. And I don't want to spoil it because it was a game that came out this year, even though it was like January. But it seems, based on that trailer, it connects directly from Travis Strikes Again to No More Heroes 3. The thing about Travis Strikes Again, and it seems like about No More Heroes 3, is that those two games are an extended metaphor for how pissed Suda 51 is at EA about... I forgot the name off the top of my head. But he made a game with EA that they changed a lot, and he did not like that. So there are... If you've never played Travis Strikes Again, I don't want to ruin it. There are parts of that game that make that metaphor very clear. And to the point where the main villain is named Richitello, just based off the name of EA's president at the time. So they seem to be continuing that storyline. I'm very interested in it because that, like, that alien design and like the concept of it, it's like now it's not No More Heroes anymore. It's No More Superheroes. So Travis is getting involved in a fight against like 9 alien superheroes that he's going to kill.
The trailer was sweet.
The trailer was fucking awesome.
We were talking over it like, what is this? This is crazy. And then when it had the splash, everybody was like, oh, this is it, you know? So that was exciting. I liked it a lot.
Yeah. I encourage people to at least go read about Travis Strikes Again and then go watch that trailer, because it's super interesting from that perspective, because Suda51 has not directed a game in a long time, and it appears that the games he's directing now are just be like, oh, Shadows of the Damned, that's the game I'm thinking of. Just him being super pissed about what happened with that game is just what he's doing now.
I like it.
It's not at all a subtle metaphor.
The beginning of that trailer gave me like weird Digimon vibes at first, where he's like he finds this little monster friend and whatnot, and he sends him to space and shit. I was like, all right, this is taking a turn, and then it like turns into No More Heroes. I was like, all right, I'm fucking in. I haven't played them before, Imran. So do you think I need to catch up and get into the series?
I would at least read about them, because okay. like they're cool stories.
Yeah,
but they are hard to play these days.
They don't really hold up super well gameplay-wise.
I mean, like, I like them. They're very weird and strange, and, like, some of the boss battles are, like, really intense, but, like, mm-hmm. stuff between the boss battles, not so much.
Okay.
One thing I liked about that trailer that you mentioned of, like, you know, it was a kid, putting an alien creature in, like, government's looking for him and they're trying to put him in a rocket.
Yeah.
The creature's name was Fu, F-U. That is E.T. plus one. It's F... You.
Wow.
That is Suda, right?
He's so cool.
I like that. That's cool.
Well, there were a lot of announcements, a lot of cool reveals, a lot of trailers. We highly encourage you over here at Kinda Funny to go check out your favorite games media website. Go see all those trailers and reactions. We're running long here, so let's jump in to, of course, the Game Award winners. I've picked out five that I just want to briefly touch on. Mm-hmm. The biggest one, Game of the Year. You had Control, Death Stranding, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, Resident Evil 2, Sekiro, and The Outer Worlds. And out of left field, a curveball. Sekiro Shadows Die Twice, one Game of the Year.
None of us, except Fran, managed to think of that one.
Nobody.
Yeah, nobody.
It was funny, Imran. I was driving down from Tahoe talking with my friends, and we were going through the list, right? And I was like, man, I really enjoyed Sekiro, even though I'm awful at those games. But it never gets any love, right? Because they're so difficult. I feel like people, when it comes to these award shows, tend to, you know, get away from those and be like, hey, let's pick something else. And they never get the love they deserve, like Bloodborne, right? Mm-hmm. And here we are. Out of left field, like I said, this one Game of the Year, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, to some extent, I think, like, a bit of it is outlets going, hey, Bloodborne was really good, we did not give it its due. Let's try Sekiro. Let's play this game. There's so much conversation about it. And that ended up being what people voted for. I would bet that the margins on this vote were razor thin.
Yeah.
I bet a lot of them split the vote. I bet they're, most of these games are probably a lot higher than we think they are. And I bet that Sekiro, we'll never know, because like Keeley doesn't publish those, because he doesn't want to invite.
If he did, though, that would be really, really.
I
cool.
think he doesn't want to invite harassment to the outlets that do say it, like what they vote on.
That's fair.
But I
don't even need to see like who voted what, but I would love to see like graph, the percentage of like what was close and whatnot.
I would love to see that.
Because Mike, you said it Sekiro came out of left field. I feel like if any of these had won tonight, like it all would have been felt like it came out of left field, because I think they were all. Really close with winning, you know, and I think that's really cool. It's a really strong year for those nominees, so I think,
I'm legitimately surprised Resident Evil 2 did not win.
Yeah, it didn't. Did it win anything last night?
No,
it did not.
So one of the bigger snubs.
Well, how about that?
We'll see. Maybe Resident Evil 3 can pick it back up on that one.
Yeah,
let's keep it going. The best game direction: Control, Death Stranding, Resident Evil 2, Sekiro, and The Outer Wilds. And the winner, Death Stranding, got picked for this one. What were some of your thoughts? We kind of talked about it, like the best game direction. Almost like, do we consider it a runner-up? That like, hey, this is your reward because you didn't win, or is it tied to the director Hideo Kojima and the name and like him being so big? What do you think about game direction?
I mean, I think that's kind of it. Like we talked yesterday, like in movies, that's kind of what best director is for. It's you didn't win best film, but here. Like here's one because we know who you are and we wanted to give you an award. Kojima, I think, wins this. And by a vote, it is very obvious because he's the only director you can think of. Like off the top of my head, I know Miyazaki directed Sekiro. I cannot think of who directed Control. I know people at Remedy. I can't think of the name. Resident Evil 2, I know the producer is not the director. Outer Wilds, I think I know who that is. But like, you tell me who directed Death Stranding. It's like, oh, it's Hideo Kojima. He made like a marketing campaign out of that, like that fact.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about our final one for the 2019 Game Awards. Best Independent Game. This was a big one here. Baba Is You, Disco Elysium, Katana Zero, Outer Wilds, and Untitled Goose Game Disco Elysium won. You talked about it. They won 4 awards here. Mm-hmm. I think they were the team that won the most awards throughout the night. Pretty big win for independent game?
Yeah, I would say so. Like, they went from... Disco Elysium is a game I had never heard of before it came out. And then people started talking about, like, oh, this game is amazing. This might be one of the best games ever. Like, that's strange. Like, I'm looking at it. It seems fine. But then I actually play it. It's like, oh, this is actually, like, this is legitimately a fantastic fucking game. To win Best Independent Game and to come away as one of the most awarded teams and slash games at the entire show, that has to feel good for them. Also, we missed with a bingo last night because one of them was, like, getting political in an award speech.
Mm-hmm.
We did not hear them talk about how they thanked Karl Marx and Engel as philosophers. Because, like, they're kind of hardcore communists. Like, that's their thing. They're old world kind of Soviet developers. Not really, but you know what I mean. And that was what drove them to make this game and the way it works. It's like, there's a point in Disco Elysium where I'm just walking along because I would listen to someone talk about communism because there's like a plot point with like a strike and all that too. And then at some point, my character just goes like, wait a second, am I a communist? And then it just like, my id and my limbic system and my necktie, which represents like the lizard brain of the character, like start having a conversation of, am I a communist or am I too lazy to be a communist? And then like, I was like, yeah, I'm probably too lazy. It's like, are you sure? It's like, no, I think I could be a communist. And it's like, yeah, fuck yeah. We're going to destroy the proletariat. Like, it was an interesting thing. I was like, oh, I can totally see why that developer did, like, thinks that way.
I love it. Well, that is going to be all the Game Awards talk for you. We're going to end our new segment with, of course, 60 seconds of esports with Snowbike Mike. Barrett, run the graphic. Oh, wait. Your boy Snowbike Mike forgot the graphic. That's my bad. Let's jump into it. Put the timer on. Let's go. Hey, everybody. Gen G won the PUBG Global Championship on November 24th in Oakland, California, and the PUBG Corp's plans to host 4 more global events under the banner PUBG Global Series. Epic Games announced a $15 million Fortnite Winter Royale Duos event throughout the month of December. This story coming from the Esports Observer by Kevin Hitt. There are going to be 3 separate duos tournaments that will take place over 3 different weekends, each with $5 million up for grabs in the prize pool. Players from any rank and any servers will be eligible. Another Fortnite story that you need to know about: the NFL PA partners with Twitch and Epic Games for Twitch Rivals Streamer Bowl Series. This story from the Esports Observer by Kevin Hitt once again. Twitch and the NFL Players Association, NFL PA, and Epic Games have partnered with the Twitch Rivals Streamer Bowl, a 3-part series with NFL players and Twitch streamers paired together in Fortnite competitions for charity. Streamers will draft players from a pool of NFL players. Each streamer has a partner, and they'll play a duos tournament for $500,000 for a U.S. charity. Pretty cool. Awesome to know about. One more piece of esports news that you need to know about. The NBA 2K League Season 3 Combine has now completed, and draft eligibility emails will be going out next week. But first, we have an awesome event happening across the pond. That's right. Gfinity Arena in London, England will be host of the NBA 2K League European Invitational. This story from Esports Insider by Jono Nicholas. UK-based tournament organizer Gfinity has partnered with the NBA 2K League to host NBA 2K League European Invitational. The event will take place at the Gfinity Arena in London. The inaugural qualifying event will see 20 players from Belgium, France, Germany, Spain, Austria, Turkey, and the United Kingdoms compete in an attempt to become eligible for the upcoming NBA 2K League Season 3 draft pool. Whole lot of fun. Make sure to check that out. Your winners for the Snowbike Mike Sunday Tournament Series Week 22 was Shadow Colony taking it in a 2v2 gunfight in Call of Duty. Your best esports game for the 2019 Game Awards was League of Legends. Your best esports player for the 2019 Game Awards was Kyle Booga, winning that Fortnite championship. That guy is a big-time winner. And best esports team, G2 Esports for League of Legends. Woo! Emron, I'm giving you all the esports news you need to know about. And I want to give you so much more, but I won't be back for some time. And I'm eager to play some more esports games. So if I need to know where my latest esports games are dropping, where would I go to check out my local mom and grop shops?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Boop, 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 boop. boop-a-doop, boop-a-doop-boo.
Yeah.
Here's some new dates for you. On Friday, December 13th, Dead End Job will be releasing on PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Weeklist coming to Xbox One. Event Horizon Space Defense coming to your Nintendo Switch. Robo Zorro coming to PC. Backspace Boken, I don't know how to spell that one. PC and Mac. Lumberjack Simulator, PC. Somebody call up Gary Witt and tell him to get on this one. Geo Cells, Quad Cells, PC and Mac. I thought that said Quesadilla. My apologies. Nightshape 2. Night Swap 2, PC and Mac. Hexon, PC and Mac. Hope's Farm, PC and Mac. And Biker Z, PC. Deals of the day for you. Wolf Among Us is currently free on the Epic Games Store. And also check out Best Buy, as they seem to have a big-time Game Awards sale going on where you can buy a lot of games for really deep discounts. Emron, let's jump into reader mail for your birthday. But before we can do that, of course, you can write in for your reader mail at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. If you'd like to get the show ad-free, though, and speaking of ads, we got to talk about our awesome ads. These ads and show help is brought to you by Brook Linen. You guys know Brook Linen. Making your home beautiful is the ultimate form of self-care. You spend one-third of your life in the sheets. Don't you want them to be insanely comfortable? And this holiday season, it's time to gift those ones you love or yourself with something a little cozier, like bedding, loungewear, towels, and more. And lucky for you, Brook Linen is celebrating their days of gifting with daily promotions on different items of home and internet's favorite sheets. Brook Linen's gotcha 50,000 plus five-star reviews and counting. Greg uses Brook Linen sheets and he loves them. They're easy to order and match with your awesome bedroom aesthetic. Brook Linen was the first DTC bedding company, meaning they work directly with manufacturers and directly with customers. No middleman, just a great product and service. They've moved beyond the bedroom to offer essentials for your bathroom, like towels, shower curtains, and bath mats, and even launched ultra-soft loungewear that makes you feel like you've never left bed. And this holiday season, it's likely your mission to make you and your loved ones comfortable as well, so why not give the gift of softness and give the gift of Brook Linen. Luxury sheets, robes, loungewear, towels, and more. All luxury products without the luxury markup. Like softness, comfort, essentials to help you relax, Brook Linen has it all. Right now, brooklinen.com is having their days of gifting where each day they have promotions on different surprise items. Brook Linen is so confident in their product that all their sheets, comforters, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. The only way to get access to Brook Linen's days of gifting event and free shipping is to go to brooklinen.com. That's brooklinen.com. And if you're just hearing this and... Oh, 1 second. And if you're just hearing this after the holiday season, you can still use the promo code GAMES at brooklinen.com to save 10% off and free shipping anytime. Brooklinen, everything you need to live your most comfortable life. Now let's move on to our next sponsor, Quip. We all love Quip here at Kinda Funny Studios. The holiday shopping season is here, and this year you can gift, and your gift can start next year's good habit with Quip. Quip is something that's sure to put a smile on everyone's mouth because it's dental care they'll actually want to use every day. That's why Quip is perfect throughout and thoughtful and practical gift with an electric toothbrush, refillable floss, and toothpaste, all intentionally designed to make good habits simple. The Quip electric toothbrush has sensitive sonic vibrations and a timer with 30-second pulses to guide your routine, and the Quip floss dispenser has made pre-marked strings so you always use the right amount. Plus, Quip delivers brush heads, floss, and toothpaste refills every 3 months. Join over 3 million happy customers and check everyone off your gift list right now with Quip. Just go to getquip.com/games to save on gift sets and to get your first refill pack free with the refill plan. That's your first refill free at QUIP.com/games. GetQuip.com/games. And our final sponsor for your Friday show, Manscaped. Support for Kinda Funny Games Daily comes from Manscaped, who is the best men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Jingle bells to the walls, fella. Listen up. Untrimmed pubes are a thing of the past. It's time to gear up and get yourself the gift of shaving this holiday season. I'm talking about the Manscaped Perfect Package 2.0. That's right, Tim and Greg's balls look great. That's why this revolutionary company, Manscaped, has redesigned the electric trimmer. Their lawnmower 2.0 has proprietary advanced skin-safe technology, so this trimmer won't nick or snag your nuts. It's also waterproof, so you can use it in the shower. The Lawnmower 2.0 comes inside their Perfect Package 2.0, which makes for the perfect gift this holiday season. It's literally everything you need to keep trimmed, cut free, and smelling nice down there. And don't use the same trimmer on your face as you're using on your balls. That's just nasty. The Manscaped Perfect Package 2.0 also includes the crop preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant, and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits. Why not putting deodorant on the smelliest part of your body? And yes, your balls stink. Speaking of sweaty and stinky balls, I'm thankful for their crop reviver. The product, along with the crop preserver, keeps your balls from sweating, smelling, sticking. And these products smell good. Their manly scent is attractive and will help set the mood, if you know what I mean. The Perfect Package will also come with a pair of Manscaped boxer briefs that'll keep your junk feeling fresh all day. It's time to upgrade those overused pair of boxers to Manscaped's high-performance anti-chafing boxer briefs. Tis the season to manscape, so get yourself, your dad, your brother, and your friends the best gift of all, the Manscaped Perfect Package 2.0. Get 20% off and free shipping with the codes GAMES at Manscaped. Your balls will thank you.
Wow.
That was a great ad read, Emron. I'm feeling great.
Do you need a breath? Do you need some water for a while?
I need a moment. So why don't you give me some reader news, a reader mail.
All right. Quick Jab has written in and said, now that you were able to sleep on it, what did you think of TGA 2019? What would you like to see change for TGA 2020? Also, do you think we'll ever see the behind-the-scenes statistics on the votes? I, for one, would love to see how close the GOTY vote was. P.S. Everyone needs to play Sekiro. Even if you're not a DS fan, it's worth the experience.
Play Sekiro for sure. And that's coming from somebody who sucks at Sekiro. Play it for sure.
Yeah.
Emron and I talked about it before. I loved the show. I'm a big fan of the pageantry. I'm a big fan of gathering all your friends together, celebrating the hard work of others, celebrating the games that you know and love. And I truly thought it was a great show. It was a good show for me. Of course, it didn't have the big announcements that we all wanted, but the Xbox Series X reveal for me was huge. I loved a lot of the middle games from PUBG Corps, the Shark Eater game that I'm really excited for on PC. Yeah. I thought, all in all, it was a great show, and I was hyped about it, and I can't wait for next year.
What would you change next year?
Mike Howard as a presenter. But really, I wouldn't change anything. I would probably look at different musical acts. You know, for me, Green Day wasn't hitting it. Run the Jewels, I know a lot of people like, that's not for me. I'm looking for Drake. Okay, I need like a Drake. I need a Snoop Dogg. I need something big for me to pump up. Lady Gaga, something like that.
Lady Gaga. But I did think the opening was really cool with that was Churches, right?
Right.
Churches was the best one. The Cyberpunk one, I couldn't hear what she was saying.
Yeah,
but
that was
the
a
background
weird one.
Was so cool that I was into it.
Yeah.
Maybe that was her goal.
Yeah, aesthetically, it was quite nice. I could have dealt without Elon Musk like standing up after that. Like. But, I mean, yeah, I think they need to cut the awards in half. Like, not the timing, just the number of awards. If you can't do them all with enough aplomb that, like, it's a big deal, then don't do them all.
Yeah.
Like, cut it, like, best fighting game, why is that a pre-show award?
We don't need best family game, you know?
Yeah, that's just, that best family game feels like we needed to put Nintendo somewhere.
Yeah.
And it just, no, the awards need to function around that games like Nintendo games like Luigi's Mansion can be in other categories.
Definitely. I think the final part there before we end that reader mail is seeing the results, right? Bear talked about it. You talked about it. Like, we don't want to send hate towards people or give them an unjust due. But I would say I don't need to see the results, but I would love to see if they really want to move to that point. Just a small graph. Hey, 58% did this. 52% did this, you know, and break down the numbers, you know. I don't need to see, you know, Imran Khan from whatever, he voted for this, and then everybody's got to go send you hate. I don't want that.
Right. Yeah, statistics would be great. They absolutely should do that, because I would love to see, because this is one of those years where it's not just going to be like 60% or like 40% God of War, 40% Red Dead Redemption, and like some small split between the rest.
Yeah.
This is, I think, I would love to see this one, because I bet it's razor thin.
Be exciting. I think that might be the next move you might see next year.
Yeah.
I bet he takes that in and probably does that.
That makes sense. I think the other two questions are stuff we've mostly talked about, because they're both Game Award-related ones.
Okay.
So we've talked about this here. So why don't we check You're Wrong? By the way, if you were using You're Wrong to be mean, fuck off. Like, fuck off into space. I'm not, like, I read it, I don't think care about it, I'm like, all right, I deleted it.
Don't be negative.
Yeah.
Be hype. Be happy.
We're best friends here, but if you're going to be an asshole, then we don't want you. All right, let's see. Hellblade was aired December 18th, 2018. So not recently, but around when they bought Ninja Theory. There was a Fast and Furious game for 360 based on Horizons 2. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. I'm reading two different ones. There was DLC for Forza Horizon 2 that featured the airplane chase, but okay. It was also a 360 game. Let's see. You forgot there's a Capcom Cup this weekend.
Oh, cool. I love when people write in with more esports. Please help me out. I only get 60 seconds up there. Greg Miller doesn't let me go any over. So give me all your esports.
An Xbox One X is not actually cool liquid cooling. It has like a vapor chamber cooling system. So it's still like different than just fans, but I imagine they could do something similar with the Xbox Series X.
Okay. So Microsoft is pro vaping?
They're pro vaping.
Gotcha.
They do not listen to those pugs. All right, I think that's it.
All right, well, let's talk about next week's host. For Monday, you will have Greg and Matt Kramer from Sanzaru. Tuesday, Greg and Imran. Wednesday, Greg and Gary Whitta. Thursday, Greg and Victor Lucas from Electric Playground. And on Friday, Greg and Fran. Please mark this down, an 11 a.m. show. Please be remembering that. Of course, this has been your boy, Snowbike Mike, the birthday guy himself, Imran Khan. Thank you for a great Kind of Funny Games Daily. Happy birthday as well to the blind gamer, Steve. Got to give him some love,
nice.
Fellow Kind
of
Funny
birthday,
best
Steve.
Friend. And Imran, thank you so much for an incredible show.
Thank
it's
you.
Been awesome. Right. Happy holidays, everybody.